Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and FY 2023 earnings conference call of City Union Bank, hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prabal Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashree. Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for dialing in. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I welcome you all to fourth quarter earnings call of City Union Bank. We have with us Mr. N. Kamakodi, MD and CEO, and Mr. J. Sadagopan, CFO. Without further ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. N. Kamakodi for his opening remarks, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Hearty welcome to all of you for this con call to discuss audited financial results of City Union Bank for the fourth quarter and year ended 31st March 2023. Board approved the results today, and I assume you all have received the copies of the results and the presentation. You might have also seen the announcement of 3-year extension approved for MD and CEO. The succession planning and all will start maybe about 1 to 1.5 years in time. At the beginning of the last year, during the fourth quarter financial year 22 con call, we shared with you all our expectations that growth will be low to middle double digit, and we did not have visibility for brighter growth because of war, oil price, macroeconomic stability, and things like that. Though we were not bullish during the beginning of the last financial year, the outlook improved during the middle of the year, but unexpected developments affected the progress, and all those things are behind us now. Financial year 23 had been a decent year of progress despite the above challenges we faced. Most of the parameters like PAT growth, reduction in the NPA, ROA growth and all had broadly been in line with our annual basis, while growth has been below the expected level. As you all know, we had tightened the underwriting process even before the COVID, when our approval rate for new customer logins, which used to be around 45 to 50%, was brought down to around 25% and all. We did not take any change in the composition of the advances. Major segment had been MSME with 43% share, while also gold loan, which is presently at about 25% of our advances. Historically, we did not concentrate much on the segments like housing, credit card segment, vehicle loans, personal loan, loan against properties, as well as co-lending model. Now we could see...
sir, we are unable to hear you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear now?
Yes.
Yeah. Based on our learnings in the last 3-4 years, we are at the verge of finalizing. So basically, based on our learnings in the past 3-4 years, we are actually finalizing a tie-up with Boston Consulting Group as our consultant to upgrade our existing digital lending processes. And the approval proportion should also increase as we move forward in the next few quarters. We are aiming for about 12 to 15% growth for the current year, which should be skewed towards the year end. No major changes expected in the composition of advances. And also, as discussed in the last quarter con call, we could not recognize interest subvention part of our agricultural KCC jewel loan. We have completed necessary compliance for that scale of finance, whatever we discussed last time, with the required audit process and all. Post con call, we received one installment of payment on that and waiting for the rest. This is actually a good sign. We received the first installment. At the year beginning, we estimated the slippage for financial year 23 to be in the range of 2.5 to 3% of the closing advances. In addition to those accounts which are marked as NPA by the system automation, based on our learnings, we have identified and recognized some more accounts as NPAs in Q4 23, which are showing some signs of sickness but which are actually not marked by the system as NPAs and which are beyond the 90-day norms, which are actually the outstanding has not crossed 90-day norms, but based on our learning, we have done that. After taking considering all these, our slippage for financial year 23 was at 3.02%, which is about 2 basis points higher than our expected range. Our gross NPA stood at 1920 crores for 31st March 2023, and the gross NPA ratio stood at 4.37% against 4.70% last year. We expect a good moderation in the slippage this year. As at the same time, the recovery has improved substantially during financial year 22-23. We had a total recovery upgradation of 1,107 crore in financial year 23, comprising of 813 crore from live accounts and 294 crore from technically written off accounts, compared to 795 crore last year, comprising of 607 crore from the live accounts and 188 crore from the technically written off accounts in the financial year 22. The NPA addition minus recovery for financial year 23 improved to 222 crore from 481 crore in the financial year 22, which means there is about 260 crores of additional benefit we got in the current year. Net NPA also, vis-a-vis the last year, net NPA also improved from 2.89% on financial year 22 to 2.36% year 23. It reduced sequentially also from 2.67% in Q3 to 2.36% in the Q4. So we expect further substantial improvement in the recovery in the current year also to get the net NPA back to the pre-COVID level in the next 4-5 quarters. In this process, we also expect that the coverage ratio also to improve with the technical return of over 20% and without technical return of over 50% in coming quarters. The overall SMA 2 to total advances now stands at 1.82%. It used to be around 6% during the pre-COVID level. Our standard restructured assets also reduced to 2.85% of the total advances. From the peak of 5.91% of advances whatever we had during September 2021 actually. So all these, the pool of stress assets numbers are coming down, and also the recovery is showing let's say a good positive outlook. As you all know, we had tied up with 6 insurance companies covering life, general and non-life. They have also started showing results. During financial year 2019, 4-5 years back pre-COVID, we had a bank assurance commission of 9 crore, which improved to 27 crore, that is 3 times in the last 4 years. We expect this growth to improve as in the coming years. In addition to the cost of deposit increase, the non-recognition of interest subvention amount also reduced our NII in the last couple of quarters. And our net interest margin in the current quarter ended up with 3.65, while the year as a whole, the annual net interest margin had been 3.89%. We expect there will be definitely pressure in the net interest margin because of the deposit repricing as widely repriced in the industry. But our cost to income ratio for the financial year 23 is reduced to 38.85 compared to 40.37. percentage in financial year 22. In the absence of treasury profit, the cost to income ratio may be slightly get elevated in the range of maybe 42% or some increase will be there for the next financial year. During the mid the financial year 21, at the peak of the COVID, we said that we should be getting back to the pre-COVID level of ROA of 1.5% by the second half of financial year 23. During the first half of financial 23, actually we achieved the PAT of 500 crore and ROA of 1.59%, we expected the same thing will repeat in the second half also, but with the unexpected contribution from the first half of 500 crore profit actually had unexpected contribution from various quarters like treasury profit, write back from NCLT accounts in the lumpy recoveries. These opportunities are not now available in the first half basically. Though there were challenges in growth, net interest margin reduction, lower contribution from other income front and all, and also let's say marking of NPAs in addition to the system marked NPAs, we closed the financial year 23 with ROA of 1.46%, which is closer to our long-term average of 1.50%. We hope to close the financial year 24 also with let's say 1.5% plus. NPA recovery will be a major contributor. Though there will be challenges in the first half of financial year 24 on PAT growth, it will be compensated in the second half because of both business growth and also improved NPA recovery. So overall, we are good visibility and confidence for achieving our PAT growth and also the ROA and all for the current year also. So our PAT has registered a growth of 23% and stood at 937 crore for the financial year 23 as against 760 crores for the financial year 22. This year also we expect the in proportion to the let's say advances growth 12-15% growth in the annual profit in tune with the let's say business growth and also improved recovery. To sum up, despite headwinds in the margins, our base figures, our growth, let's say the non-availability of income from other opportunities like treasury and all, we expect that we should be closing financial year 24 with a decent PAT growth, substantial reduction in the NPA, improved coverage ratio, and ROA closer to or even better than the our long-term average of 1.5%. So this is the overall outlook whatever we are having for the financial year 24. So some issues, I mean there are certain unexpected issues which created some dent in the last year, and those issues are behind us. So going forward, we hope we should be able to achieve overall growth in PAT and while maintaining the ROA and also simultaneously reducing the overall NPA figures is what we expect at this point of time. So with these opening remarks, I open the forum for questions. Over to you all.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Mona Khetan from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening. Taking off from your opening remarks, you mentioned that there'll be increased focus towards retail, but also you mentioned that loan mix is unlikely to change in FY24. Is that what I got correctly?
No, I did not say that I will concentrate on the retail and all. What I am trying to say is that like many of our peers have shown greater interest in the, or greater growth in the retail, but we may be thinking of it maybe for the 24-25 and all. Currently, we don't expect any major change in our overall loan mix is what I said.
Got it. And as far as margin trajectory is concerned, even in H1 of next fiscal, do we feel that, that 3.85 to 4% will be doable or will they be relatively muted?
There will be maybe, 10 to 15 basis point lower than that, range we gave it in the past. So you had the fourth quarter average of 3.65. So our margin will be around this range for the current year because you will be having one end. There is some, interest rate hike has been passed on during the fourth quarter. At the same time, there will be, on cost of deposit front, some repricing impact and hike will be there. And also we are having the disadvantages of not able to recognize some part which we have been telling, like once we get the final approval from the let's say regulators and things like that. So based on that, we are making the expectation with the available data, and this is where we are.
Okay, so full year margins will be closer to what we saw in Q4 of FY23.
Yes, plus or minus 10 basis point.
Got it. And just finally, in FY24, if I understand it right, you are also moving to CTC-based salary structure for the employees.
This year's increment will be the last of the time scale based increment, and the actual impact of the CTC basis will be visible only next year.
Okay. So is that why we are expecting the cost ratios to be higher this fiscal, or just because of the lower top line?
No, basically last year in the first half we had let's say a good amount of profit from the treasury and also lumpy recovery from the NCLT accounts and all, which gave a lot of addition to the other income. Those facilities are not available. I mean, if you try to analyze the figures, as I told you, more than 200 crores of benefits we have got from the NPA slippage minus recovery front for financial year 23 compared to the financial year 22. So this year we will be getting, let's say, even improved benefit from that, slippage minus recovery front, which will be compensating us for all the dent in the net interest income and non-availability of other income opportunities from the treasury and all such fronts. So overall, because since in the first two quarters, since you don't have the opportunities from the treasury and all, and also since we had 500 crore profit in the first half, profitability growth over and above that in the first half will be challenging, it will be getting compensated in the second half. So despite all these things, we are confident of having whatever PAT growth and ROA we are expecting for the next year, for which we are having the visibility.
So thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue. All the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, when we are guiding for a NIM of around 3.65% plus or minus 10 basis points for FY24, and an ROE which in 4Q was around 1.3% ROA, so we are guiding for a 1.5% kind of an ROA for FY24. So just want to understand what will drive the ROA improvement, and in 1H also we have guided for a no growth in profitability vis-a-vis the last year 1H.
The major agenda, whatever that will be driving, is the improved recovery, which we were not having during the 2021 and all. So as I told you, we had the addition minus recovery of NPA. Actually, you had already seen about 250 crore or so difference between the last year and the current year. And from this year to next year also, based on our analysis of the NPA, that is giving us enough comfort that we should be able to maintain our overall ROA number and PAT growth, simultaneously seeing the reduction in the net NPA number also. Major driver for PAT growth this year, along with the growth in the business in the second half, major driver is going to be the, improvement in the recovery, as we have demonstrated in the compared between financial year 23 to financial year 22 in terms of slippage minus recovery.
So what would be the expected credit cost that we are building in for this for FY24?
See, if you look into the presentation, the provision you made net of the recoveries you made in the technical written off, it comes to about 90 basis point or so for the financial year 23 per se. So we had about the similar number was about 0.82 for 18 and 54 basis point for the financial year 19, which increased to about 1.5, 1.3 and all in subsequent quarters. So what I basically want you to like say focus, the way what I want to convey or what we see is that you have already seen 200 crore increase in the addition minus collection between financial year 22 to 23. We expect a similar jump in the current year also.
So this would be on the net slippages that you are seeing, there will be roughly?
There will be, as you have seen already, the SMA 2 numbers have also substantially come down. The restructured standard assets have also started substantially, they have come down.
Right.
So our incremental, like say, both in terms of the slippage, we expect a reduction, and also the recovery numbers are also improving, what we have already started seeing. So these items are going to be a major driver for the PAT growth and let's say protection and improvement of ROA for the financial year 23-24.
So this is a credit question, fall down to 50-60 basis point for FY24?
I don't have an exact number. It will be finally depend upon where you want to keep your net NPA, because that will be a moving target.
Sure.
So that's why I will have some flexibility on that, and that's why I give you a broader picture on this. That is that decision you will be taking as you enter into the year.
Sure. And sir, secondly was on the loan growth. So for FY24, when you're talking about the back-ended growth and on the target of 12-15%, so just want to understand, are there any newer products that we would look to launch or any geographical expansion, or this is going to be mainly coming from the same geographies and the same product profile that we are operating in? And when you're saying the growth will be back-ended in the year, so what kind of a growth one can expect in the first half on vis-a-vis the period and number of March 23?
The point is the current level of growth rate only will be there in the first half. As I told you, we had in fact pulled down the approval rate for new customers from about around 50% to 25% just before the COVID, and we thought we will be releasing that in the financial year 22-23, and keeping that in mind only, I also shared with you all that we will be going for a better growth rate. So developments which you are aware, we had to pull down, we had to revisit the entire processes and put in place, and those things are almost completed. And also to ensure for the better measurement of risk and appreciation, we are also in the process of, the tying up with BCG so that our existing digital lending processes for MSME loans also needs some amount of fine-tuning and all. Those things, maybe the current level of growth will be, continuing for the next couple of quarters. These issues will be, we will take a shape, and we will be in a position to see improved growth rate in the second half.
Sure, sir. And lastly, the question that I want to ask was that on this approval rate of 25%, so is it a function that the proposals that we are getting from the market right now are not credit-worthy enough to be sanctioned? Or is it just that from a process perspective, we continue to remain slightly more conservative and that's where the approval rate is low?
We, in fact, if you remember, along with the second quarter results of the financial year 19-20 before COVID, we are tightening our belt and we are taking our legs off the growth pedal. At that point of time, we tightened, and the inflow is almost average. Whatever we were getting at that pre-COVID, whatever we were getting, and hadn't we got into this phase, probably we would have continued with that same 50% or whatever it is. So we reduced that at that point of time. We were expecting to, in fact, even at the beginning of the last financial year, we did not have confidence. In the middle of the year, we started getting the confidence. We said we will be starting to open that. But unfortunately, we couldn't do that last year. So we have now we are starting to open that at the same time create, fine tuning the other digital processes and all are also going to happen parallelly. So this is how we see this year will pan out to be.
Sure, sir. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue for other questions.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Prakhar Agarwal from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just taking forward from the last question, sir, the growth, the slower growth that we saw, was essentially because of the higher...
Yeah, can you slightly get away from the mic or whatever, the voice is not clear?
Now is it better, sir?
It's better and talk slowly.
Yeah. So in terms of just taking forward from last question, last participant's question, in terms of growth that we saw, was it also a function of competitive intensity on the ground or something, how do you look at MSME ecosystem around wherein you are dealing with in terms of health of those, and that is why our approval rate was slow? Or what was the logic behind not increasing the approval rate from earlier that you talked about of around 25% that we reduced during COVID? Why was it not raised during the second half, which you anticipated it to increase?
See, as I told you, it has nothing to do with the competitive intensity or anything like that. So the major item, like say what happened in the second half, particularly on the restructured assets, regulatory inspections, divergence and all. Like say, we had to learn some lessons and we had to ensure that the internal things are taken care and those things don't happen again. So for which to ensure all the things are in place and all, we decided we postponed our time taken to push for the growth. So we just continued with whatever we had done during the pre-COVID and all. Those issues are now by and large behind us. At the same time, some fine tuning is necessary in our, which we have found out that in our digital processes, particularly on the measurement of risk, revisiting our, model and all. We are starting that process and all, and it will take 1 or 2 quarters to settle. So keeping all these things into account, I am giving you the thing. Apart from that, all other, this is not because of the competitive intensity or this is not because of we are not getting proposals and all. So we are, we have to ensure that, whatever we take from this point of time, we will be able to, push for the growth without any hassle for the, next 10 years or so. So some amount of internal fine tuning we are in the process of doing. We are almost there and some amount of thing with this association of BCG. Once it is complete, all these the integration has to happen properly, after which we will be in a position to push growth fully.
Sure. Your thoughts on any stress that you probably see on MSME side, or how you look at any MSME ecosystem and health around those? So are there any red flags that you are seeing in the segment that you operate in terms of health of those customers?
See, as I have clearly given to you, the SMA2 numbers are at historical lows. I have not seen these type of low SMA2 numbers in my life, in my total experience. Similarly, even less than 4% of SMA1 and 2 and all, in my life I have not at all seen. So the health of the MSME and all are decent. Whatever issues that were there, they had got washed off during the COVID period and things and all. By and large, those things are almost over. And that's why I'm when I conveyed that, going forward for the current year, we will be seeing both reduction in the slippage. More than that, there will be increase in the recovery. Overall, the addition minus recovery will be showing even good improvement whatever we have seen between financial year 22 and 23, and that is giving me enough confidence to say that both in terms of PAT growth and ROA, we should be in a position to handle it for the whole year.
But we will be having issues in the first half because we had contribution, we had 500 crore profit after tax last year, which was supported by, let's say, treasury profit and also recovery, lumpy recovery from the NCLT cases and all, which are not available for in the first half this year. So in first half, growth in the PAT may not be good, but year as a whole, we are able to have visibility to see growth both in terms of PAT and also having a let's say lower NPA and ROA at our crossing our historical average.
Sure, sir. So just one more question on margins. So when we say that we'll probably for the full year next year we will have an exit ROAs similar to exit ROAs that we saw for FY23, which is 3.65 plus minus 10 basis points. And on the other hand, we also say that probably because of deposit cost rising, there might be some pressure points in the initial term. So how exactly we are going to maintain, because if there we are going to see some margin pressure for first half, and how exactly we are going to maintain a exit run rate of 3.65, because there will be some downside which will be there.
When I say that number, the impact of all these things are already built in.
Got it. And just one last thing, in terms of recovery from return of accounts, what was that number for the full year FY23, and how do you think that particular line item plays through in FY24?
Basically, the we had in terms of suit recoveries, we had 294 crore for financial year 22-23 vis-a-vis 188 crore last year. In fact, that's why when I let's say, gave the information, don't just look into the write-off of recovery. If you consider both write-off of recovery of the return of accounts and also the recovery of live accounts together, if you consider it as a recovery, the growth in the financial year 22-23 is about 250 crore in addition to whatever you had in the financial year 22. So this year, that we expect further improvement on that line.
Sure, got it. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jai Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my first question is on agri slippages related subvention loss of, net interest income. So I remember last quarter there was 32 crores loss of net income because of the subvention slippages. Was there any such element in this quarter as well?
There is no reversal like the 32 crore what we did last year. But we could not recognize about 25 crore or so income in this quarter.
So, sir, the NIM decline this quarter is mainly because of the rise in cost of deposit, right? Which is more or less...
Both. About, let's say, around 5 to 6 basis point contribution will be from the non-recovery of, what you call, the agricultural thing. And also about, you might have seen the cost of deposits has increased by about from 4.60 to 5.07, which is about 45 basis point. While there is about 15 basis point only is the increase of yield on advances. Some passing of rates have happened in this quarter for the advances. So there will be some increase in the yield on advances in the current quarter. So considering both whatever we have, passed on and also the expected increase in the cost of deposit, we conveyed the expected net interest margin.
Right.
Another point what you also need to see about it, not less than 15-20 basis point impact because of the lowered CD ratio.
Right. And maybe the higher slippages this quarter as well, right? I mean, the while the QOQ slippage...
It is even lower than whatever slippage we recognized in the fourth quarter, third quarter. So, sequentially, that impact it is already, like say, to greater extent built in. In fact, it is advantageous compared to whatever margin we had in the previous quarter.
Right. So, sir, hypothetically, let's say, I mean, this quarter RBI inspection and everything is done for these agri slippages, we cannot accrue the lost interest, or, you know, there is a case that you can start accruing from first quarter onwards. I mean, you will anyway accrue, but can you recoup the lost interest?
See, the receipt of the first installment is a very good sign.
Right.
We don't want to commit or over promise anything. Since it has been found out, we have completed all the compliance process, audit and all. We have submitted the papers to them. So one installment has already come in. So hopefully the impact may not be as bad as what we thought originally, but we don't want to take a chance. We will go for accrual when we feel it is okay to go for accrual. Till that point of time, we would like to just leave it as such and wait for the finality on this matter.
Right. So these are standard account, right, sir? They are not NPA.
No. These are all standard accounts. See, basically, what the logic is, maybe for the benefit of everyone, let me repeat. Say you have what is called as KCC scheme, in which, it is basically given, 2% interest subvention is given by the government to the 1.5% interest subvention is given by the government to the borrower. So normally what happens is that for getting that 1.5% interest subvention, a question was asked to us whether we have calculated the amount eligible for the borrower based on the scale of finance. So we had done a thorough exercise, went account by account, and tried to find out what proportion of accounts are fulfilling the norms and what proportion of the accounts are not fulfilling the norms and all. By and large, except a very small proposition, overall, our audit says that maximum amount of these accounts are fulfilling the criteria of the scale of finance and things like that. What happens is that government gives about 1.5% to the bank and 3% to the borrower if they repay within 1.5 years, and 4% is what we have to within 1 year or whatever. So this 3.5% is what, we are not able to recognize at this point of time. So we have fulfilled, and by account, we have taken the thorough exercise, and it is audited by the external chartered accountants and all. The final compliance is already submitted for approval. Basically, as I told you, first installment, normally how it happens is that, so we will be, normally the payment by the government may get delayed by the 2 years, 3 years and all. You will get, all these things will be in accrued and receivable basis. Receipt will happen sometime down the line. So this time, after these issues came also, after the things and all were spent, we have received one installment for our past due, which is a very good sign. So we will, once we reach a stage where the backlogs are cleared, then we will get the confidence that we can go for recognizing the accrual.
Right. No, so what I wanted to check, sir, this is KCC loan, so the installment is once in a year only, right? Or there are multiple installments?
Yeah, if they are they become NPA, within 15 days they will get actioned and you will be recovering. It will be finding a part in the overall NPA in the jewel loan. That part is not more than, 10 crore or so in the total outstanding slippage, and that 10 crore also will be from the jewel loan accounts where the borrower is deceased or he is not available locally and all, where we are not able to, any court procedures or stay is pending or something like that.
No, so I was saying, sir, if the KCC loan has only one installment annually and we have already received that, right, then what is stopping you from recognizing the interest if it is already received in cash?
In that, the problem is you will be getting only 4% interest from the borrower.
Okay.
Another 3% will be received from the, 4.5% will be received from the government.
Right.
So that 4.5%, let's say originally we will be accruing, even after we give the jewel back to the borrower, that 4.5% income we will be recognizing on an accrual basis, and the government may be paying that account in due course.
Right.
When this when that objection of scale of finance came, the doubts were raised whether we will be getting that 4.5%, whether we will be eligible for, we had to demonstrate that we should be eligible for that 4.5%, which we have done now by and large. So once it is approved, we will get the money. First installment has now come. One installment has come after this issue was came up to light.
And how many installments are there, sir? So let's say,
It depends upon the budgetary approval. So the government will make some approval and send it to the Reserve Bank of India. Reserve Bank of India, FIDD department will be distributing this money to all banks in proportion basis. So the actual payment is depending upon how much money that is transferred by the government to the Reserve Bank of India.
Okay, and let us say in first quarter everything is sorted, right? Let us say it becomes very clear that you have the necessary documents to prove that these are, you know, eligible agri subvention loan. So do you receive the backlog also, or the fourth quarter and third quarter interest does not come back?
No, what I am trying to say is that once I get all installments up to financial year 22, I will start, now I have received only part of financial year 21.
Okay.
So it will happen with the delay of, let's say, at their own, government's own timeline. I mean, we can't, let's say, force anything or anything. It happens at its own pace. So once we get for our whatever demand we have raised, once we get the dues for financial year 22, I will start recognizing the on accrual basis the financial year 23.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Darpin Shah from Haitong India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. First one was on slippages front. Did I hear right? You mentioned that there were some standard accounts but were at borderline and thus you recognized them as slippages or NPAs during the quarter?
Yes. See, these accounts were not, your system basically gives based on the, say, 90-day overdue means NPA. It will immediately throw that. There are a few accounts which may not have crossed 90 days on 31st March 2023, but are showing continuous signs of sickness or whatever, like based on the learning, whatever we had in the previous years and all. So we had more than what is marked by the system, some amount of accounts we had added in this quarter.
And so what could, if you can quantify them?
It could be about 75 to 80 crore.
Okay. And was there any interest reversal also in this, or just because they are standard, there was no interest reversal?
All built in.
Okay.
For others, if it is more than 90 days, the reversal could be lower, since they have their last installment, which could be less than two installments or so. It will be proportionately lower.
Okay. Okay. And so second thing is on, second question is on loan growth. Now, your comments indicate that, you know, in history or in the lifespan which we have seen, we have not seen this, you know, SMA 2 at such low levels. And still we are guiding for 12 to 15% growth only. So where is the disconnect, sir?
Disconnect is in, like say, when you analyze the growth of most of our peer banks or whatever, the substantial growth had been done by them in terms of retail advances, like say home loans, vehicle loans, or what do you call, co-lending and things like that, which we will be we may not be doing in the financial year 23-24 also. So this 12 to 14% growth also, like say I am discounting first quarter, as usual you may not be having big growth. So for me, all the like say the fine tuning and all the projects and all, taking all these things into consideration, and overall growth rate of the system for the current year, you might have also heard about like say even the today's comment from the State Bank of India and all, the overall credit growth of the system for the current year is also is expected to be moderated, and we will be taking one step at a time, and the non-entry, or like say the many of our peers who have shown substantial growth in 14-15-16% and all, significant growth has come from these retail and other things, which at this point of time we are not like say entering, which we will consider probably at the end of the current year and all, yeah, for future. So I'm not taking those things for my growth projections in the current year.
Okay. Thanks a lot for this.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bunty Chawla from IDBI. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Just kind of a repetition could be, sorry for that. As you said, for FY23, there could be a dip in the margin as compared to last year, and there could be a chance of cost to income ratio, which is around 38-39, could increase to 40-41%. So maintenance of ROA is completely dependent upon the recovery in the asset quality front. So can you guide for the credit cost for the full year FY24? Because if I see the FY33 slide number, credit cost for this year seems to be the lower among last 5 years, or equivalent to last 5 years as such. So what should be the credit cost we should take for the FY24 as such?
I answered this question also earlier. So I am not giving you, like say, any specific number on the credit cost, because it depends on where we will be closing the net NPA with. So that's why I am giving you a broader number. Like say you can simultaneously view it this way. The addition, NPA addition minus NPA recovery between the financial year 22 and financial year 23, it improved by about 240 or 250 crore or something like that. So we expect the similar improvement on that front in the current year also. We expect a good moderation in the slippage. We also expect a good improvement in the recovery. This difference will be, as I told you, about 240 odd crore got added, like say that was the incremental benefit for me to my P&L between the financial year 22 and 23. Say for example, I in fact told the addition minus recovery for financial year 23 was 222 crore for financial year 23 it was the addition minus recovery was only 222 crore, whether it was last year it was 481, which means about 260 crores of benefit I received because of this parameter. I expect, like say, improvement on this particular number this year, which will be helping me both in terms of, like say, protecting my PAT growth and also improving my net NPA position and also the coverage ratio.
Thank you, sir, and sorry for the repetition. The credit growth, you said 12 to 15% for FY24?
Yeah, which will be back-ended.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Amish Thakkar from Singular Curve India Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you so much for taking my question. I just want to understand, like, what kind of steps are you taking internally? You mentioned about the regulatory challenges and the divergence that you had.
Can you hear you properly, sir? Can you use your
hand? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to understand what kind of steps you've taken in terms of your processes and any lapses you had in terms of processes which led to the regulatory divergence. And is that completely over? Do you see any, like, next couple of quarters will probably try to perfect it? And what gives you confidence that those issues will not pop up again and as you press on the growth pedal?
See, let us be honest about it. We had this divergence issue second time, and about 7-8 years back, we had once. When other banks had, let's say, hundreds and thousands of crores in between after the AQR and all, we did not have much issue. The what is the fundamental item is, when you, let's say, in your IARC norm and when you automate your, let's say, NPA recognition, so the system, when it throws something, you will not have any issue about it. But there are many items, like say, which are non-financial and which are subjected to lot of interpretation and all, where there will always be difference in the judgment how it is being perceived. And particularly when you take a call during the audit and subsequently after 3-4 months during the, like say, after, you will also have the other information of what you call the operations in between. Even last year when the divergence happened, you could have clearly seen about 25-30% of that had already been marked as NPA in the next subsequent first couple of quarters, because they were all recognized by the systems. I don't think anybody will be able to say with 100% conviction that nothing will be there. Because all the, I can definitely say and I can swear, anything like say based on the system marking and based on the financial thing and based on the proper which are all codified and documented, when system throws something, I can I can swear that it is there is absolutely nothing different. But when it comes to the perception, things changes. Last year the perception was basically different on the restructured cases where the issues were given, and there were issues in the date of recognition of the NPA and all, those things are behind us. So taking into consideration all these things, that's why I told, even those accounts which are not recognized by the system, but we have recognized or which are showing some signs of sickness, though they were not strictly coming under the 90-day norm, we applied some extra subjectivity and try to ensure that we are on the right side of the recognition. So this is the best we could do, and we have gone to the next level. But then rest all we have to leave it to the Almighty. We have done everything possible in our control to do that. And as you know, it's a matter of reputation. No MD or no management will take chances on these things knowingly. But when the perception and when the different views are coming, we are helpless, and there won't be anything in your hand to say that way. So we have taken, last year also we took everything in our care to do that. This year also we have, and every quarter and every time we take whatever that is in the best interest. What we feel is that, only thing which we have, the similar thing as I told you, but the 6-7 years back when it came, it was not the era of automatic NPA recognition. And I think in 2016 or so, we had to declare one time, and it had happened for the second time unexpectedly. So this is the, and nobody would like to keep their reputation at the stake and all. When we declare the results, and also we discussed this point with our statutory central auditors also, both board audit committee, all members also asked this question multiple times. So we have taken everything in our control to, let's say, even on the grey items, we have taken our best possible items. Beyond which, let's say, it is for the Almighty to take a call.
Okay, thank you. And I just had another couple of questions on your credit to deposit ratio. You know, you have, the credit to deposit ratio has, you know, compressed by a couple of hundred basis points in the last, since COVID, and that's putting pressure on your NIM margin. So any guidance on that front? And within deposits, you mentioned in the past that you don't want to give any guidance on CASA till you reach 30% CASA ratio. Now you're already there for the last couple of years. So any guidance on CASA going forward?
See, on CASA front, basically we took a few steps, particularly on the government CASA front in the last 2-3 years, which have been helping us to improve our CASA front. We have been taking our best effort basis. You have started seeing the results, and there will be always some fluctuations here and there. I will give you, let's say, wait for maybe a few more quarters. Once I get a total control, I mean, you have started seeing the improvement, let it be, let us see how things move forward. And on the other front, what is that you are asking?
The CD ratio used to be 86%,
it's come
down
to 84%. CD ratio is something. Now when you, though you have, let's say, we have to take that call depending upon the surplus liquidity in the system, overall credit growth and overall thing and all. So we decided to let's say, squeeze till the last point, and it will be staying over there for maybe a few more months till we see that let's say we can we get a comfort to squeeze it to our old average.
Okay. And so one last question on gold loan. So it's 25% of your book now. It was used to be less than 20%. So it's again, you know, was one of the focus areas for loan book growth in the last 2-3 years. So going forward, any guidance? And also your NPAs, you know, on gold loan are negligible compared to rest of the book. You know, your system averages 3.5%. So if you remove gold loan, the NPAs on non-gold loan part of the book is even higher. So any guidance on gold loan going forward? And also your yields on gold loans are, if I'm not wrong, less than 10% versus the two listed NBFCs are close to 20%. And there are all sorts of players between that range, you know, from both yield side as well as ticket size perspective. So any guidance in terms of how you look at that product going forward?
Yeah, as you might have observed, our significant portion of our gold loan is basically for the classification of agriculture, which we have to mandatorily do. And we also, let's say, we were doing it well till we received that, we got this scale of finance issue and also there was some moderation. Our stand had been that, let's say, we will do it as a, what you call, wherever we require it for the to achieve the agricultural target. And also, whenever, wherever we have, let's say, surplus capacity and wherever we are not able to build our SME book, we go for the gold loan is what we have taken a stand. So it has been very favorable to us, and we can never come to the listed gold loan NBFC's average of 20% yield and all. There could be few, there are fundamental ways of, let's say, the difference in the portfolio itself, particularly the classification of agriculture and all such things. So our thing is that when we start seeing the, let's say, the growth rate of MSME increases, so we always have, let's say, higher risk-adjusted yield there also. So at that point of time, I mean, if you had seen over a period of, let's say 15 years or so, our bank, so we started with the single digit, increased that to about 18%. Once again, got it back to, after 2014 gold price crash, we got it back to single digit. Then once again, we increased that. Whenever we felt we were not comfortable with, during the COVID period and all, we gave a thrust to these things. So we will use it as an opportunity to, grow when we don't have, when we feel that the growth opportunity on MSME loan has come back. So broadly, our average will be about 12 to 15%, and the fluctuations, the extremes could be about 8 to 27-28%, depending upon the requirement. I mean, in fact, beyond 25 itself, it's not, we are not very gung-ho about it. Let us see how it moves forward.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity again. So I just want to understand in terms of the account aggregator and the ONDC, how are we placed right now? Or is it the BCG project that we are doing is with respect to getting on board with respect to many of these things? And especially, as we understand, many of the large private sector banks are have made a significant development, and that is helping them gain almost 25 to 30% growth in the loan segment, which is our core focus area. So the point which was asked earlier in terms of the competitive pressure, are we seeing competitive pressure emerging from those kind of lending as well, which is taking market share from us?
No, not exactly. Those sort of things are basically happening at a level, lower than our segment of, the 1 crore to 5 crore segment or whatever it is, the smaller segment this is there. We have already, getting ourselves ready for ONDC, for which the enrollment process and all has started. And on the account aggregator framework, in fact, we wanted to be a sponsor for one account aggregator, but we could not get necessary approval when the concept came about 3-4 years back. We are also in the process of doing that. All these things should be getting completed in the next couple of quarters. We are already on the job.
Sure, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rajakumar Vaidyanathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just one question. You were saying that you don't expect significant treasury income in the first two quarters. So I just saw that the government bond yields have come down significantly in this current quarter. So you should be able to get some decent treasury income for the Q1, right? So just...
Yeah.
Will not be having
you will see appreciation only for those, government security purchases you made between the yields of the current yield and the peak yield, whatever you saw. That entry had, you never had surplus liquidity in that period to make maximum entry and all. It can at the best reduce your mark-to-market loss, and if you have to book a small profit, you have to sell a big portfolio, which is not, going to help you in a very big way, like what we saw in the last year comparative period.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Gaurav Jani from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Firstly, a couple of questions on the margins. From a full year perspective, we saw about a 9 basis points decline in margins in FY23. Do I understand it correctly? You mentioned we would be somewhere in the 3.65-3.7 range on an average basis in entire of FY24?
At this point of time, our expectations are also almost closer to this.
Okay. So, just to take that point forward, I mean, frankly, this year, barring even the one-offs, the yields have not gone substantially higher like we saw in case of other banks, despite of we having a higher...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you are right. Because of the shocks from the multiple unexpected quarters, and also loss in income because of these things, all multiple factors and all, we were a little bit lagging. We lagged in passing, One reason is that even before that we had passed. If you closely look into even before the increase in the external benchmarks, we had at we had been getting the yield at substantially at a reasonably higher level, and since we had other items to look into, some amount of passing has happened in the during the current quarter, and visibility will be there when we when we see the current quarter's number. But your observation is right. The others increased the rates more than what we had done, but still in most of the cases our current level of yield is almost equal to most of our peers or even slightly more.
So so just if I may squeeze on this, what proportion of our loan portfolio would have been repriced on average basis till now in effect when we post the rate hikes?
Please repeat the question.
What proportion of our loan book would have been repriced on an average basis in FY23
post rate hikes? Yeah, almost the entire book. The I think except about 11%, about 10-odd%, all have seen passing of transmission of rate hikes, and the transmission of the exact number had been depending upon the rating, depending upon the quantum and other factors, it could vary. It may not be, as you might have seen, when about for 2-2.5% increase in the external benchmark rating, overall average yield increase for the system had been reported to be about 1-1.25%. The in the last about 4-5 months, in the last two hikes before the year end, we had been little bit slower in the transmission.
Okay, sure.
We have tried to compensate it by to whatever extent possible. See, the basic difference was that the last pass was something which we did not expect.
Understood. And so on the deposit side, what proportion of deposits are repriced?
Almost about 40-50% got repriced, and we had also reduced the peak interest rate, whatever we had been given during the pre-COVID period. So some amount of, the incremental thing, incremental increase will be, getting moderated.
Sure. So what I understand is because 50% of deposits are yet to be repriced, that is why you expect the margin decline in FY24.
Can you repeat the question, please? I lost you in between.
No, what I was asking is, sir, because you 50% of deposits are yet to be repriced in 24, we expect a margin decline.
No, the margin decline is going to be for everybody. We are also going to have that. So we there is still some amount of repricing in the deposit side left. Some amount of increase. Basically considering you already have a benchmark during the fourth quarter or about 3.65 and all. So we have to consider the potential repricing effect. We have to consider a potential increase that could happen in the yield on advances. So considering there could be some changes in the CD ratio also positively, taking all these things into consideration only, we said that this can be taken as the middle one, plus or minus 10 basis points should be what we should be seeing going forward.
No, so where I was coming from is the one-offs that you saw in 23 could normalize, right, in 24, so that is where...
Already bulk of it has got, normalized.
Sure. And so just last bit, did I understand correctly? So FY23, you saw net slippages of about 517 crore. This number, you expect this to be lower because of higher recoveries?
Yeah, I mean, what I clearly gave is, like say, consider both recovery from the live and the technical return off together. The NPA addition minus fine, addition minus recovery for financial year 23 is 222 crore, which was 4. So there is a benefit in the P&L for about 260 crore. So we expect this year there should be moderation in the slippages, there should be improvement in the recovery, and there should be expansion in this number is what I am trying to say. Or improvement in this number is what I am trying to say.
Understood. That is it from my end. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rakesh Kumar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, looking at the TWO number, which is close to around 1350 or 1400 crore number. So the recovery from TWO would be lower going forward as compared to what we have seen in past, especially in this year, and recovery from NPA would be higher, correct?
No, what I am trying to say is that there could be improvement in both.
Okay.
But when we recover, when we go for our recovery procedures, we don't differentiate for a procedure for a live account and for a technically written off account. So, but the how it you get the response is something which you cannot have a total control.
Got it. And how old this TWO number would be? So, what would be the average maturity? Like, you know, these are 2 years old, 3 years old. So, what is the average blended maturity of this 1400 crore number?
It will be like say 1 to 3 years will substantially cover about 80% of them, roughly.
One to three years, okay. And sir, in this quarter particularly, you know, there is a very sharp movement in the cost of term deposit. So anything specific, like, you know, if we see the trend, like, you know, there was hardly any movement in Q1, and obviously the now that, you know, because considering that average maturity of deposit what we have based on disclosed number, the ALM, this quarter we have seen very sharp jump, more than 50 bps jump in the term deposit cost. So anything very particular to read into it, if you can help, sir?
See, in the last quarter of the last financial year, you had even public sector banks getting to even 8% interest for the term deposits and all. And so there was, we even offered 7.5 and 8% for the term deposits. So normally you have, say, 25% repricing happening every quarter. And over the period of time, the deposits which were maturing were at about 6.5. And there were about 1.5 or even 1.75% incremental cost for that deposits which were maturing, which resulted in the increasing cost of deposits.
Okay. And sir, though the reported number on the yield on advances is showing increment of around 15 bps on a reported basis, but on a calculated basis, this number is kind of, a bit volatile on a lower side. So any higher amount of advances that we have taken in the book in the end of the period, something like that?
No, we have not gone for any portfolio buyout or anything. These are all absolutely the regular advances. You will have end to end, you will not be in a position to exactly calculate, because when it comes to the daily average, there will be fluctuations in terms of the cash credit utilization and things like that. We have not gone for any portfolio buyout in the last year.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. And all the best to you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shankar V.S. from Freelance. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening, sir. Sir, can you kindly expand on the scope for engaging BCG, sir? Any specific to lending or some restructuring of the organization like that?
No, they are going to help us in terms of, looking into the, risk measurement, modeling of portfolio, and looking into the loan origination to the sanction digital lending process, basically. We are not looking into changing the organizational structure and all. This is purely for the business process re-engineering of the lending processes from the, customer experience, renewal, from the loading of proposals into the loan origin system to loan sanction and dispersal. This is what we are engaging with them.
So I understand that we'll be having an end-to-end digitally underwritten loan model. So what we are proposing like that?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Sir, in continuation of that, if we are engaging BCG and investing on these digital end-to-end platforms and all, so obviously we'll be incurring an upfront cost, wherein the benefits of the same, we could be realizing or getting it about some quarters after that, maybe next year even. So could that upfront investment make any pressure on the, additional pressure on the margin, sir? Do you expect that?
The cost is not significant. It will be less than, 3-4% of the annual profit what the bank is making, and it will not be having any significant impact on the overall P&L.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jay Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just wanted to check, sir, on one of the airline exposure that we had, there was some restructuring by the airline to a lesser, right, wherein they have got the dues converted to equity. Does that necessarily mean that this is a second restructuring and hence, you know, it could become technically NPA for lenders? While I believe we have provided, so, but wanted to check, can that become NPA?
See, the for us, we don't expect that for us. The reason being, they had given a repayment schedule and they have repaid up to almost 75% of the overall outstanding. And there is only one installment left which they have to cover it before the by June 30th. So that is where the things currently stand as of now for us.
Okay, understood. So if you can refresh, sir, what is the provisions that we have against that exposure? And I'm sorry, how much is the exposure now as of March? And, you know, I believe we have 100% provision here. So what would be the reduced exposure?
It's about the outstanding currently is around 25 crores or so.
Okay. And that will be 100% provision, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Abhilash Hiran, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you explain the reasons for not entering into the consumption space lending?
Basically, like as a policy right from the beginning, the bank's original DNA had been to fund the creation of business assets and not for consumption. And also over a period of time, we had passed through multiple cycles when, our experience had been, I had seen this in the 2003-04 cycle, and multiple cycles when, people rush for the unsecured segment and some amount of heat comes in the future and all. So we will wait for the, so far, our original ethos had not, supported us taking the decision for the retail and all. But days are changing. We also need to be open. We are waiting and watching the situation. Once our, particularly after this digitization and all, after perfecting the model and when we are comfortable and confident that our risk measurement and all, we will be able to price the risk appropriately and identify the risk appropriately, we will think about taking these decisions in future. At this time, we have not made any major change in our overall policies, whatever we have done in the past.
So, sir, can you explain which other sectors we would not be open to lending apart from the consumption sector?
Nothing like that. Like say, the overall SME, MSME, commercial trading, agriculture, together constitute so much. We had always restrained ourselves from entering large consortiums and all. In fact, the whatever we could do in the last two decades, most of the things were, the credits were not for doing something extraordinary, but for not doing many wrong things. So that has in fact saved us during the AQRs and other things, even when many of our peers and all went in a big way, we decided not to go for that and we were proved right subsequently. So we see that way.
Sir, and just looking at your last decadal annual reports and just populating the segmental result numbers, we see that the segment result numbers from treasury to the total segment result numbers is increasing, whereas the wholesale banking and retail banking is slightly decreasing. So is it like there's some structural change in the retail and the wholesale book, which where the pricing is not getting, we are not able to price in the correct risk, so that we are not able to get the required results as far as the core banking is concerned, whereas the treasury is being contributing to the higher segment results, which gets populated in the annual report.
See, don't look at that way. See, when your balance sheet grows, you have more in terms of your treasury portfolio increases, and there is income what you get from the interest income, and also the profit what you book in the particularly getting into the integrated treasury operations and all, it also improves. And you, last 2-3 years, the growth in the core banking segment had been muted because of so many factors. So that probably might have made you to see a pattern like that, but we don't see that way. So once the issues are behind us, things should be getting back to the normalcy. We have not made any conscious effort to change the overall structure in the way you perceive.
So because this is the numbers which have been reported, and I can see that.
I fully agree with you. It is because of the external environment, and we don't expect that to continue future.
Yeah, sorry sir to push here, because the numbers have been dropping from 2014 and nothing to do with the, it's just pre-COVID numbers also. I'm seeing that the mix from the wholesale and retail is.
You see the combination of wholesale and retail together and the treasury together. How do you see the numbers contribution?
So, sir, if I just look at from 14, here from 2011 it was 22% treasury to the mix, 31% wholesale and 43% retail banking, which in 14 fell to, which increased from, to 43 to 53% in retail banking, and which fell again from 53 to 36 and 44%, and this is again at the same level. So these are pre-COVID numbers I'm talking, not even...
One minute. What is the treasury number at your beginning and what is the treasury number? See, the don't segregate wholesale and retail differently. There are a lot of reclassification happened in between because of the, the definitions changed in the MSME Act and things like that. The contribution of the treasury fluctuates depending upon the which side of the interest rate cycle you are in. We don't envisage any major difference over there. The reference point may not be a point that should be seen. We don't see that way.
Okay. And sir, can you also, provide for the credit in the subsequent annual reports, could you provide also separately the credit cost for retail and wholesale as per the segment analysis which has been reported in the annual report? Not only the way we put it in the presentation, but the way we put it in the annual report as far as the segment results go. Can you provide the...
My suggestion will be look into the wholesale banking and retail banking together as the core banking, and further hair splitting, I don't think it is not going to serve any purpose.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for your time, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
We have a next question from the line of Rakesh Kumar from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, sir, for the opportunity. Just one question with respect to tax rate. So this quarter it is looking slightly on lower side. So any specific reason that that we could not get to know from the disclosures?
See, it is basically it depends upon the let's say expectations, the expected tax that should be paid, and also let's say if you look into the annual basis, by and large, you don't see any difference in that. Anything you want to add, Saragopan, on this? Taxation rate for the year, what is the percentage you want to add? So that is there. Okay. See, on annualized basis, you won't see much fluctuation.
The write-off amount, which is looking slightly on a higher side, sir, so does that have any impact, the loan write-off amount, on tax rate?
Yeah, it will definitely have.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for attending. Last year, despite having shocks, overall the things had ended, all is well that ended well. This year also, even though we expect headwinds in multiple parameters, like cost of funds or other aspects, overall we feel, on particularly because of the better contribution in terms of slippages and recovery, whatever improvement we have seen between the financial year 22 to 23, we should be seeing the similar betterment here. First half, there could be, let's say, something, but the year as a whole, we are confident of seeing both ROA growth and also the, let's say, reduction in the net NPA and, let's say, all ROA also in the, taking care of our overall long-term average and all. So we are able to see that at the same time, as you might have also seen, other things are also behind us. So hopefully the financial year 23-24 also, we should be, despite these things, we should be having overall profitability well in line with whatever we had discussed with you. So let's hope for the best. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.